Good morning. This is the Friday Morning Zine. I'm Jeff Pope. And today we're talking with Father Red Stevens and Mary Rose Sampson about St. Christopher's Episcopal Church in Bluff, Utah. The church was is formed as a missionary church years ago. We're going to talk a little bit about the history and of the church and its impact on the area. I want to welcome to the studio Mary Rose Sampson, a parishioner at St. Christopher's Church, and Father Red Stevens. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for inviting us.
Great. Glad to have you here. Maybe I'll start with you, Father Red. How long have you been a pastor there?
I've been there 5 years now and still learning a lot.
Uh-huh. And in your pastorships, where are you coming from? Is this your maybe the base question, is this your first time in such a diverse cultural pastoral assignment?
I moved up from Fort Defiance, where I spent 2 years before I came here. So this wasn't my first placement in the Navajo Nation. Before that, I served in small villages in north central Alaska in the Brooks Range, town of Alakakit, a town of 110 on a good day. and also Kotzebue, Alaska. I traveled around quite a bit in Alaska. So, no, this is not the first cross-cultural experience.
How would you compare, when you think about Bluff, Utah, and the area surrounding Bluff, Aneth, Montezuma Creek, etc., how would you compare that to some of the mission experiences you've had in Alaska? Compare and contrast. Same thing, or is it...
There are a lot of similarities. The language was another Athabascan language. The peace and quiet is what I love, that's what drew me to this area. Even before I moved here, we used to visit here, my wife and I, and hold some services here, and we enjoy the people and the place, and I was drawn to it. So,
if you've just joined us, this is the Friday Morning Zine. My name is Jeff Pope, and I'm with Father Red Stevens, who is the pastor at St. Christopher's Episcopal Church in Bluff, Utah, or just outside. And Mary Rose Sampson is here as well. She's a parishioner at the church. And Mary Rose, I want to bring you into the conversation, maybe with a little history. Good morning. Nice to have
good
you
morning.
Here.
Good morning.
You were born on the mission?
Yeah, but 5 or 4 years after they started the mission.
Huh. So. What brought your parents to be at the mission, and maybe paint a picture of what that was like for them and for you growing up?
Well, the reason why I was born there is my father and my grandfather and my husband's grandfather, they all helped build the buildings, help with the buildings of the mission. That's why everybody moved close to the mission at first.
Mm-hmm. And the work of your parents, at that time, what... The work was to build, but what other things were happening around there to make a living and to survive in Southeast Utah?
Well, it was mostly their work in there, and there wasn't very much jobs around there, so we just helped the family just have moved in there and help with the building, I guess.
So they literally built the buildings. What are your memories growing up there, on the mission?
Well, it was mostly going to church on Sundays, being driven to church. I mean, somebody from the church would drive around and pick up people, kids, mothers, fathers. Make sure they all go to church.
Uh-huh. Well, I think that's the same everywhere.
that's what they did.
Easy. A little city, yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Even though it's just a little ways, but still, they made sure they come to church.
you smile and laugh. It sounds like that was a joyous experience to be picked up in a
yeah.
car.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, most of the families didn't have vehicles, so they were still, most of them were in covered wagons, and that's how they traveled, or on horses.
So for you as a little girl, getting to ride in a vehicle was kind of a treat?
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm.
Were they like, was it like a pickup truck or what?
No, it was kind of like a Jeep, mm-hmm. one of those older Jeeps.
If you just joined us, this is the Morning Zine. It's Friday morning. I'm Jeff Pope, and it's Mary Rose Sampson you're listening to. She's a parishioner at St. Christopher's Episcopal Church in the Mission near Bluff, Utah, and Father Red Stevens is here as well. Father, can you maybe give us a little, there's more of a personal history there. Can you delve into the history of how Episcopal Church came to Southeast Utah and it began its presence there and the mission that it's had over the years?
It was mostly driven by the personality and goals of Baxter Liebler, the first priest there, who although he grew up in the East, was fascinated with, had grown up with the Boy Scouts and an outfit called Woodcrafters, and was interested in Western life and Native Americans particularly. And I talked with his son, who is now in his 90s, who said, yeah, I remember all our summers were spent driving around in our station wagon, visiting different reservations and looking for missionary opportunities, and visiting the Havasupai, visiting reservations in California, Arizona, and someone directed my father to this particular area. Baxter Liebler writes in his book that he wrote to the Bishop of Utah and said, well, I see that there are no missions in the Utah area for Navajos. And the bishop wrote back, said, if you want to work with the Navajos, you're going to have to either start in Arizona or New Mexico. There are no Navajos in Utah. So he sent him back a map of the Navajo reservations and colored in the parts of the reservation that are in Utah and got a go-ahead from the bishop. So
Baxter sent that back and said, mm-hmm. this is the Utah Strip, as it's called, the Navajo Nation in Utah. Said,
right.
There's a little bit of a geography lesson.
A little geography lesson right there. Yeah.
Can we move forward?
Baxter Liebler was very interested in what struck me about reading about him was that he was intent on cross-cultural inclusion. He was intent on, there's another book about him called The Highly Adaptable Gospel. He was interested in not excluding what we refer to as the Native American Old Testament from the faith operations that he was proposing. So,
What are you talking about, the Native American Old Testament?
The cultural religious practices of Native Americans and their history with that and their growing up and being enriched by that. So he did not want to lose that.
So this question about amalgamation of cultures, mm-hmm. And in this case we're talking about European culture and Christianity coming into contact with Native culture, Navajo culture, Diné culture. When you think about it, or when you guys think about this, how has... Baxter was very interested in that. How has... If somebody who's, you know, an Episcopalian from Minnesota or Florida... showed up at your mission, what would they see immediately that would say, we're not in Kansas anymore, and that this is, while both Orthodox, we've moved on to also a new a new way of thinking about being cross-cultural?
Well, the one thing they would see was Navajo hymnals in the pews. They would see Navajo prayers in the service leaflets. They would see see and hear Navajo translations of the Bible readings. In different churches, they would see a different percentage. But in St. Christopher's, about 50-50, and we do the service. We try to do the service about 50-50.
In Diné and mm-hmm. In English?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mary Rose can remember when they had Apache hymns as well.
Yeah, different songs.
Tell me about that, Mary. Yeah. So why would you have Apache hymns, and how does that relate to? Just tell me more about that.
I guess he's just trying to make it different culture or different nationality or to into the service, so people won't. To invite different people or different tribes into the service, so they'll be seeing all that part of their songs and culture was part of the service, so they would feel welcome. I think that's why. Because nowadays, like Father said, they're doing a lot of some of the service in Navajo and translation, and even the person that is doing the service is talking in Navajo, part of the service, and the Navajo people like to hear that.
And it's always been that way?
Yeah, it's always been that way.
As you can tell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Father Lieber did a lot of the talking in Navajo. He learned a lot of Navajo, so he likes to talk to his parishioners in Navajo and talking to them, just saying hello in Navajo and all that. So he learned a lot.
If you've just joined us, this is the Morning Zine. I'm Jeff Pope. That's the voice of Mary Rose Sampson. She's a parishioner at St. Christopher's Episcopal Church and Mission in Bluff, Utah. And Father Red Stevens is here as well. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. We're back. This is the Morning Zine. Good morning. I'm Jeff Pope, and I'm here with Mary Rose Sampson and Father Red Stevens. Father Red is the parish priest at St. Christopher's Episcopal Church and Mission. Mary Rose is a parishioner there who was actually born there these years ago. Not that many years, I'm sure. And we're talking about the history of the mission, and we're going to talk in just a minute about its current services. I'm interested, though, in the we take it for granted that Father Baxter could write a letter to a bishop in Salt Lake City and essentially divide up a population and say, okay, I would like to missionize here, and I know I'm going to get support from a broader church, and that these pieces were... that's what happened to the Native American in North America and in Mexico. It happened with the Catholic Church and throughout the rest of Latin America. So this, it's just like an assumed conversation that it just happened and this is the way it happened. Is that a conversation that's alive at from your perspective, Father Red, about that history? It's downsides, and then, you know, there are some upsides to the relationships that have been built.
First of all, you were speaking earlier about the Navajo influence, Navajo traditional religious influences, and the Anglo influences. It was always more complex than that. When Baxter Liebler got there into Utah, there was already a dialogue going between Navajo traditional culture and the Native American church missionaries who were coming in from the Plains area, and were facing a lot of opposition to their missionary efforts. In addition, there had been Roman Catholic missions not too far away in...
in Monticello, there's one.
I'm thinking on the reservation in Sweetwater and in Lukachukai. Well, in those days, it was farther away than it is now, but right. still there were. And, of course, there were LDS residents in Bluff because that area had been founded and famously founded by the LDS missionaries and before they moved up to Blanding and Monticello.
Mm-hmm.
So there were diverse influences from all sides at that time, and it was always a matter of negotiation of a choice of cultures. I like to think that culture is a choice, and several kids growing up had to pick and choose what whether they would whose teachings they would follow. So I thought it was remarkable at that time that Father Liebler would use sand paintings in his sermons and would try to use Navajo concepts as well as Navajo language in his sermons and his teachings. So we tend to simplify from our distance of time, but it was a very complex relationship. The Navajos were wary of him beginning a school because they thought they were used to the boarding school mode where Native children were forced not to use their language, their haircut, and they were forced to wear uniforms, and they were not educated. They were trained in crafts rather than given a wider education.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they expressed that to him, and then he said, "Well, look at the length of my hair. Does that look like I'm going to force kids to cut their hair?"
Okay, so I'm assuming he had long hair.
Yes.
Yeah. So, from your experience, Mary Rose, maybe you could tell us about that cultural conversation that your family has had in context with other people around the region and maybe relatives who didn't convert and how that's enriched your life to be part of that conversation.
Well, since I was born on the mission property and my family's tried to stay close to that church, so I never really wandered away from that, and I've always been that there for that church. And most of my family, I think, tried to stay with that church. I know my mom was a real religious person till she died, and she believed in Jesus. And one time she told us that she saw probably an angel in a white robe when she was having a hard time by herself after her husband died. So I know that we all got very adapted to that kind of life since.
And you've been involved with the church for a long time there. What are the programs that are happening or have happened over the years that you've been most proud of to see the mission accomplished and to help the people in the area?
Right. Well, they built a building that was long, and they called it a clinic. So they started bringing in people, and one doctor tended to all of them. And now I know there was a bunch of ladies that had their babies there in that hospital, and I think that was part of the, because they had to go far away just to go to a hospital from where they were living, and that was the closest that they could go to, and they were thankful for that.
What about school? Did you go to school there?
Not there, but I've been to boarding schools, Aneth, Shiprock, and those schools, so, but I never went to that school there.
So from healthcare years ago being provided on the mission to today, what are some of the things that you're focused on, Father Red, that are important for the community and for the mission to help with?
It's always been a needs-driven operation, and at the time there were no health services and there was no school, so that got filled in once the government started taking greater interest in those kinds of programs that passed on. But there's still a need for educational assistance. We run summer programs because there's summer school has gone by the board, basically, and we although we started our summer school programs on a Bible school basis, now we're branching out into math and science camps, art camps. Last year we had multiple horse handling, kayaking, native weaving, drumming, flute making,
cooking class.
Mary Rose, have you learned to kayak?
No, never really went down the river.
That's a big deal in Bluff, which is a center for,
of course.
For
but the weaving and the horsemanship and womanship, these are important programs that you're offering.
It seems to vary from year to year. The Kids Kitchen Chemistry Camp was very successful last summer, and we're going to repeat that this summer, where kids learn not only the basics of cooking, but why different components of our recipe work together. So I thought that was a fascinating way to approach cooking.
That's a summer camp. Will that be happening again this summer?
That'll be happening again this summer.
Okay, yeah. And if parents want to get in touch with you to find out more about that, are you in the book?
We're in the book, and you can call the church at 435-672-9940 or just talk to anybody in the local area and they'll pass on the word. There are also, we're again having art camps, music camps in Montezuma Creek and in Bluff.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you both for coming in today. It's been illustrative and great to get to know more about St. Christopher's mission and the church and the work that's been done and is being done. And I hope you'll come back.
Thank you. I enjoy it.
Yeah, this is the Friday Morning Zine. Mary Rose Sampson has been here. She's a parishioner at St. Christopher's Church and Mission, and Father Fred Stevens as well. Thanks again.